Welcome to Cutting It Straight, where the issues and concerns of our times are examined in the light of the Word of God. And hello there, and welcome to Cutting It Straight. My name is Nikita Wharton. I'm your host for this evening. And with me tonight, as always, is Pastor Bruce David Bell, who is the pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship here in Richmond, Virginia. Pastor Bruce, good to see you tonight.
Thank you for having me again.
Sure. As always, it's always a pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
And I wanted to let everyone know that this is the 12th broadcast of Cutting It Straight. So we're moving right along with this program. Tonight's topic is one that I think that every Christian believer should be excited to listen to and to look at, and even those who are not Christians who are interested in Christianity or just interested in the church altogether should be influenced by watching this as well. Our topic tonight is the church, unlocking the mystery. Pastor Bruce, maybe you could explain a little more about that topic, how it came about, and so we can get started.
I think the title is an interesting title because the church really is a mystery, has been a mystery. In the Old Testament, there was no mention of the church, and even the prophets had no idea that there would be a church. And the idea of a mystery, at least in the Bible, is the word, Greek word, mysterion, which means something that was hidden, but which God has revealed. And it is in the New Testament where God has revealed the church and what the church is to be. So it is an exciting topic and one which God has revealed to us through the scriptures.
Amen. So let's get into it. So we know that many groups of people today call themselves, quote, the church, end quote. Though these different groups seem to differ dramatically in terms of what they believe in, excuse me, and even how they operate. So I guess maybe the first question is, who is the, quote, true church of Jesus Christ?
It's a good question. Once again, let's look at the Greek word for church. It is the word ekklesia, which has nothing to do with a building, has nothing to do with an organization. The word itself means those who have been called out, those who have been called out of this world and called into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So at the basic level, the church is comprised of those who belong to Jesus Christ. No one else. Now, Jesus himself said that he would build his church, Matthew 16:18.
Right.
What was he talking about? Was he talking about building a cathedral or a building or an organization? Well, the answer is no. He was talking about adding to the believers, drawing people to himself, bringing them out of darkness into the light of a relationship with him. That is how he continues to add to his church. Once again, the idea of a relationship with him, then a relationship with each other as those who are the redeemed, the believers.
So basically like a body of believers.
A body of believers, yes. The New Testament refers to us as a body of believers, unified as the body is unified. But with varieties of personalities, gifts and talents, and that is what the church is.
Excellent. So we know that many churches today are very busy doing a lot of things. What exactly is Christ's church supposed to be doing?
It's a good question. If you will remember in Acts chapter 2, around verse 42, I believe, we're told what the church was doing.
Yes.
All right. And we're told that they were devoting themselves to four things: to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers.
Right.
At that time, the apostles were the ones doing the teaching. So that is the doctrine, the teaching that they were giving the people. So
and
that's...
That teaching was from the Old Testament, was it not?
Old Testament, and then how it was fulfilled by Christ.
Right. Right.
So they were writing the New Testament as they were speaking.
Okay.
The second aspect of what was going on was fellowship, sharing.
Mm-hmm.
People were together, believers were together as a family. They had been disowned many times by their biological family, so they had each other. Mm-hmm. And they spent time together, a lot of time together. Third thing is they were involved in the breaking of bread, which is the way that communion or the Lord's Supper is referred to.
Okay.
So they remembered Christ through that ordinance. The last thing was prayer. They spent time together in prayer. That is what the church did. Now, in addition to that, as they were living out their faith, they were sharing that faith with those around them. So there was outreach. There was evangelism as they brought the message of salvation to the people, at first in Jerusalem, Samaria, and then further out from there.
Okay. So that's what the church was supposed to be doing, and it was doing that.
That is correct.
Okay. Is the church doing that today? As far as you can see, is the church now basically still performing its primary function?
I think some are. I think some are performing that those functions. But in addition to that, I believe we have a situation where the church has taken on the perspective of the world and is involved in many other things, entertainment, for example, or modeling themselves after a business model of this world.
Which no one said that Christ never said that you should do.
No, that is correct.
Okay.
So I think we've diluted what the original perspective that we find in the book of Acts.
Mm. Okay. So we've heard and that the church has been described as, quote, the invisible church, end quote, and, quote, the visible church, end quote. What do these two terms mean exactly?
Okay. Those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who are the church, sometimes are not known as believers. You're walking down the street, you walk into a store, somebody may not know that you belong to Jesus Christ.
Right.
So you're kind of invisible in that sense, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Unless they talk to you and you have the opportunity to share your faith, then they would understand that you are a believer. You become visible. In addition to that, those who comprise the true church, those who are saved, meet together to fellowship, to be taught, the breaking of bread for prayers. Now we become visible. People know that when we meet, we are those who belong to Jesus. We become visible.
Right.
Here's the problem or the confusion. Many times, what is visible to the world is not the true church. And that's where the confusion comes in.
Okay. Gotcha. I guess, when and how did the church begin?
Okay. You recall, again, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, into Acts chapter 2, Jesus is about to ascend back into heaven.
Right.
He tells his followers to wait in Jerusalem till they receive power. The Holy Spirit would descend upon them. They would receive power in order to live for him and in order to bring the message of salvation to the world. So, we are told that 120 people were together. Only 120, which is amazing considering that hundreds of thousands of people were affected by the work of Christ, healed by him, fed by him, heard his teaching. But 120 were together, and we're told they were together in a room,
right,
in an upper room. And what they were doing, we are told, is they were devoting themselves to prayer. Then the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and the church was born. That is the beginning of the New Testament church.
Wow. That's great. We know that there is a great deal of false teaching in the church, and that, I guess, kind of seeped in almost from the beginning. How can we protect the church from false teachers?
Okay. I think perhaps a verse that might be helpful is in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. And there Paul has been speaking to Titus, who was an evangelist and a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul has been talking about false teachers. And in the beginning of chapter 2, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." So how do we protect? Here's how you protect yourself from the false teachers. You are to speak sound doctrine. And the word sound there is hygieino in Greek, which is from where we get our word, English word, hygiene.
Ah,
healthy.
Okay.
Healthy teaching.
Clean.
Clean. Correct doctrine. How do we protect ourselves? Paul says, by healthy teaching. Sound doctrine. Preach and teach and live out the truth of Christ.
Hmm.
And now that we have the New Testament, we have a guide in order to do that. How can we protect the church? How can we protect people? By giving people sound doctrine. Otherwise, people will gravitate towards false doctrine.
Sure.
They'll be confused. They don't understand. Give them the truth so people can follow that truth.
Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, we have a great deal of separation in terms of different denominations and this and that.
Mm.
How did that get into the church? When did that start occurring?
Well, I think that has occurred over time. I don't know that it has occurred at one specific point. I think we have seen over the years how different groups have interpreted Scripture in different ways and have then separated themselves into that particular denomination or sect,
right,
group of some sort. And again, that is very confusing because people aren't sure what the correct teaching is. We get to the Word of God. The Word of God is clear that there is only one true church as we follow Jesus Christ and we follow His teaching.
So if we follow what God's Word says and teach from that book, we won't have any confusion.
That is correct. And maybe we won't have any denominations, because everyone who is truly saved and who has the Holy Spirit living within him and who is a teacher and been gifted in that way will be able to give us the truth. And then we will be able to learn and follow that truth.
Great. You have any final thoughts or words of wisdom you wish to impart on our discussion of the church?
I think that for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, the most important thing for us to have is the presence of Jesus among us. Without that, we do not have a church. Unless he is in our midst, which he has promised to be in Revelation, unless he is there, there is really no point in meeting at all. For example, the church at Laodicea, we read about. Christ was outside of that church, knocking to get in.
Right.
And they were not even aware that he was not part of them anymore. And I think that is sad and dangerous that so many people who call themselves the church do not have Christ in their midst.
Mm. So true.
Now, in addition to that, in addition to having sound teaching, we have to remember that those who truly follow Jesus Christ have always been in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it becomes easy to get discouraged because we are not following the pattern of the world and even the pattern that the world has superimposed upon those who claim to be the church. I think the encouragement is if Christ is with us and we lack everything else, we have enough.
Yes.
And that being said, we have what we need to be who he wants us to be, not what the world, not what other people think we should be, what he wants us to be.
So we should be focused on what Christ wants us to be, not anyone else in the world.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And as we do that, he will continue to equip us and continue to work in us and through us to do the things that he wants done. And someday we will give an account for what he has given us and equipped us to do.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank you for
thank you for
being here tonight and giving us this rendition on the church, unlocking the mystery. And for those of you watching, we want to thank you for joining us. We also want to let you know that we still have a website that we'd like you to take advantage of. www.bbfva.org. Go there. There's so much material there that is beneficial for your use. So we've got sermons, we've got Bible stories, we've got just so much content. We also invite you to visit us on Facebook, to visit us on YouTube. We have sermons on YouTube. We have a number of things there on YouTube. And also, we invite you to watch all of our content, to observe and utilize our content also on sermon audio. We're there. Of course, there are thousands of other churches that are there and who have sermons, but we have our own particular sermon there as well and our own content there. And so we invite you to take advantage of that. Go to our website. Drop us a line. Let us know that you've watched one of the programs, what you think of it, if you have any questions, if you dislike anything, even you can even let us know that. We'd like to hear what you have to say. We want to hear your voice. So on behalf of Pastor Bruce David Bell, I'm Nikita Wharton, and we want to thank you for joining us this evening. God bless you.
Amen.